Your next speaker is Lyndall R. Doty.
Here and count every Sunday, because I believe we padded it a little. No, I'm just teasing with them a little. We do have a good assembly present, and we're thankful for your presence, especially those of you who are visiting with us. But that surprised me a little bit when I looked out and saw some thin areas in our assembly this morning. But I'm sure that they're accurate and fine counters, and I want to encourage them to be just like they are today, every Sunday. We have several visiting. I'm not going to bother to mention all the names. I think some of you know these good people, and we're delighted to have them with us. I want to just say a word of thanks to Brother Grove for all the work that he's done as a deacon in years past, and I know that all of you are appreciative of the time and effort that he's put into his work as deacon, and I regret that he does not feel that he can continue to do that. We'll miss his dedicated service in that area, I'm sure. Would you bow with me, please, as we pray together before our lesson? Heavenly Father, we're mindful unto Thee of our need for Thee at this hour. We're mindful, Father, of Your power and mercy and grace toward us. And we're mindful of what You can do for us if we will but ask. Father, we ask this morning that You would bless us as we listen to this lesson. Help us to be more mindful of our need of prayer and of our need of Thee. And also mindful, Father, of what we need to do in our own lives that we might have our prayers answered and that You might open up Your ears and Your heart to our pleas. We pray, Father, this morning for those of our number who are sick that have been mentioned and those who have particularly distressing situations. We pray that You would bless them, provide for them the needs that they have, and help us, Father, as opportunity provides, to help them. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Are your prayers answered? Are your prayers heard? As we go to the New Testament, we find great and wonderful promises concerning God's hearing and answering the Christian's prayer. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, it's a humbling fact to me to realize that now through Jesus Christ, that men have an avenue that they can approach God with boldness and confidence. And as you turn to the New Testament, it's very strengthening to me to observe the wonderful promises that God has given concerning the Christian's prayer. For instance, Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Ask and you shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And then he uses the illustration of a loving, kind human father who would provide for the necessities of his son who asked. And surely then, he says, you being evil good gifts, surely I, or God, the Father, will give good gifts unto his children. And in John chapter 15 and verse 7, Jesus is talking to his disciples as a means of encouragement. And he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. And then when we turn to the epistles of John, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. And 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15, and this is the boldness which we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that He heareth us whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petitions which we have asked of Him. And Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, in nothing be anxious, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and your lives in Christ Jesus. Not only does the Bible point out the great possibilities of prayer, But it also very clearly indicates that our prayers can be hindered. That our lives, or our attitudes, or our heart, or our mind, can be in such a state that we hinder God's answering our prayers. What a shame that we have all the promises that God has given us with regard to the answering of petitions that we might ask of Him, requests that we might request of Him, help that we might ask of Him, and yet the Bible very plainly teaches that there are some things that can hinder the answer that God will give us in prayer. Or in fact, that He even hears us. I want to share with you this morning some things that I believe the Bible to teach that are hindrances to your prayers being answered and my prayers being answered. Are your prayers heard? Well, they may not be heard if we harbor secret sin in our hearts. Because harboring that sin in our hearts can cut off communication with God. When you look at such passages as Psalm 66, verse 18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Very clear, isn't it? If I put iniquity in my heart and I regard it, in other words, I keep it there and it dwells there, then the Bible says God will not hear me. And when you look at such passages as 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, or verse 7, beginning, that you might be joint heirs of the grace of life to the end that your prayers be not hindered. And finally, be ye like-minded, compassionate, loving in his brethren, tender-hearted, humble-minded, not rendering evil for evil, but contrariwise blessing. For hereunto were you called that you should inherit a blessing. For he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord upon the righteous, and the face of the Lord, or his ears unto their supplication, and the face of the Lord is upon them that do evil. This passage very plainly points out to us that to be in a receiving relationship with God in answer to prayers, we must be seeking to be righteous after His righteousness, and the righteousness which is available in Christ Jesus and through His name. That we cannot continue to live in sin and expect God to answer our prayers. To live in rebellion to His will, to turn our face and to live in iniquity, is to be away from God. In Isaiah 59 and verse 2, the great prophet says, "Has God's hand been shortened that He cannot reach? Has His ear been dull that He cannot hear?" No. "But your iniquities have separated you between you and your God." Sometimes people say, "Well, God doesn't answer prayers. He can't." No. That's not true. God doesn't answer prayers because He can't hear us, or He's not there, or He won't. It may be that you are the hindrance. In many cases, those who say that God does not answer prayers say so because, in fact, their own lives are in such a state that He will not answer their prayers. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 10 to 13, we have an interesting story of the Israelite people. They had just taken Jericho and been very successful in the taking of it, but they were warned not to take of anything that was devoted to the Lord, any of the precious metals or the precious garments and all those things which were of the treasure and to be put in the treasury were not to be taken by the people. And yet there was one man who looked upon it, coveted it, and took silver and a mantle and garments and hid them. And they went up to Ai to take a little bitty old fortress. And they were driven back, and several of their people were killed. And the Bible says that Joshua came back and he fell down on his face and he pled and he pleaded and he prayed to God and he said, "Oh, please, Lord, why is this that this has happened? Why has this happened to your people?" And God said, "Get thee up, because there is sin in the, among the people." You know, there is a time to pray, "God, God, help us, help us, help us." And then there's a time to get up and do something, isn't there? There's a time to say, "Lord, Lord, Lord," but there's also a time to get up and do what we need to do about our own lives. It's one thing to say, "God will not hear my prayers, the Lord will not answer my prayers." It's another thing to be living in such a way to cause separation and bring about a reason for God not hearing our prayers. A little boy was praying one night and he said, "If I should die before I wake," and he hesitated, and he started again, if I should die before I wake," and his voice kind of choked up, and he got up from his knees and ran out of the room. His mother was a little concerned about that, and just a few moments he came back and got back down on his knees and finished his prayer. His mother said, "Son, why did you have to get up? Were you not feeling well or something?" He said, "No, Mom." He said, "I remembered that when I said, 'If I should die before I wake,' that I had went into Billy's room and turned all of his little toy soldiers on their heads. And I'd hated for me to die and him to find all those toy soldiers on their heads." Well, that may be a cute little illustration, but it illustrates a point. If there's something in your life that you have done that you need to correct, then you need to get up from your knees and correct it, that God might hear and answer our prayers. It may be the case that we need to reconcile ourselves to our brother or sister, as the case may be, before God will hear our prayers. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, if any man be at the altar offering his gift, and there he remembers that his brother has aught against him, let him leave his gift there and go and reconcile himself to his brother and then come back and offer his gift. That's the procedure. Secret sin in our hearts, sin in our lives, can keep our prayers from being answered. Secondly, unbelief can hinder prayers. In James talks about a lack of faith in prayer. And he says in verse 6 and 7, "But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. We need not think, brethren, that if we have a lack of confidence, a lack of trust, a lack of faith in God's ability to answer that prayer, number one, we ought not to ask for something that we do not believe that God will and can do for us. Number two, we ought to ask, when we ask God for things, they ought to be of such a nature that we can trust in Him, that we know that it's in keeping with His will, and that He will carry out our needs and our desires. He will answer that prayer. He will hear that prayer. We need to trust in God in our prayers. You cannot expect God to answer a prayer that we do not believe that He can or that He will answer. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, we must believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. In Matthew 11 and 24, "All things whatsoever ye pray and ask for, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them." I once heard of a church that had a man who led in prayer publicly from time to time, who would approach the pulpit stand and he would address God in this fashion: "Dear God, if you are there, and if you hear, and if you will answer, then listen to our prayers." As far as I'm concerned, as far as what the Bible teaches is concerned, that prayer didn't get any higher than the ceiling, because it lacked faith. There was no faith in assurance that God was even there. There was no faith in assurance that God even heard. And there's no faith in assurance that God even would answer. That kind of prayer will not be effectual. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Bible very plainly talks about the attitude that we ought to have with regard to prayer as a matter of faith. For it is impossible to please God without faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God is, and He rewards those who diligently seek Him. We must have faith in that. Prayer can be hindered, and maybe your prayers are hindered because of a lack of faith, a lack of trust in God, that He will hear and answer your prayers. Now, thirdly, selfishness. Selfishness hinders prayer. In James chapter 4 and verse 3, James talks about this. Well, in fact, in verse 2 he says that you do not have because you do not ask. Then he goes on to say, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may spend it in your own pleasures. That's a hindrance to prayer. And James is saying, you don't have any answers because when you ask for something, you're asking for selfish purposes. You're asking for things that God will give you so that you can spend it in your own selfish pleasures. And surely that would hinder prayer. We must not seek our own selfish ends for pleasure of physical nature or sinful pleasure or for glory or honor to exalt ourselves. We must be careful that when we ask not out of a selfish heart, but out of a heart of generosity toward others and of humility toward God, and lack of selfishness on our part. One has written, Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayers will be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. And when my work on earth is done and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live like Thee. Selfishness with our time, abilities, our work will cause our prayers to be hindered. Selfishness hinders communication with God. We must be willing to do what we can do. Someone has said, and as Joshua, I think, illustrates here, and God illustrates to Joshua, as I mentioned a while ago in Joshua 7, there is a time when we ought to pray, but there is a time when we ought to be up working. Someone has said, and I think rightly so, that God will not do for us what we can do for ourselves, but He will strengthen us to do what we can do for ourselves. I think that's what the Bible teaches. God expects us to do what we can do, and He gives us strength to do it. We ask sometimes for temptation to be taken away, but God gives us strength to endure the temptation. We ask for troubles to be removed, but God gives us courage to endure the trouble. We ask for death to be taken away, but God gives us strength and hope to even face death. I knelt to pray when day was done, and I prayed, O Lord, bless everyone. Lift from every saddened heart the pain, and let the sick get well again. Then I arose another day and carelessly went on my way. All day long I did not try to wipe a tear from any eye. I did not try to share the load of any brother along the road. I did not even go to see the sick man next door to me. But once again, when day was done, I prayed, O Lord, bless everyone. But as I prayed, into my ear there came a voice that whispered clear, Pause, hypocrite, before you pray. Whom have you helped and tried to bless today? God's sweetest blessings always go with hands who serve Him here below. Then I hid my face and cried, Forgive me, Lord, for I have lied. Let me live but another day, and I will live the way I pray. Selfishness hinders prayers. And also, an unforgiving attitude hinders prayer. God will not answer prayers of those who have an unforgiving attitude. And I want to just take the New Testament today and just read some passages of Scripture which deal with that. Look at Mark 11 and verse 25. And I hope if you have your Bibles with you that you'll turn to those and look at them in a very serious way. Mark chapter 11 and verse 25. And whensoever ye stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against anyone, that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12 to 15, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave what is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. In the middle of it, he says, "And forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And look at Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 and 22. And then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Unto seven times?" And Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee unto seven times, but unto 70 times 7. And also verse 35, after the parable of the unjust servant, Jesus says, "So shall also my heavenly Father do unto you, if ye forgive not every one his brother from your hearts." The man he's speaking of is the man who was cast to the tormentors to be punished because he was not a forgiving person. And in Luke chapter 17, verse 3 to 4, Luke records Jesus' words with regard to prayer and talks about the forgiving and forgiving attitude, unforgiving attitude. "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother sin, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he sin against thee seven times in the day, and seven times turn again to thee and say, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." And Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, the writer here, Paul, talks about this and he says, "Forbearing one another and forgiving each other, if any man have a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do ye." The Lord has forgiven us. And the condition of acceptable forgiveness on our part is that we forgive others like He's forgiven us. It's not easy, is it? It's not always an easy thing to do, but the Scriptures are very clear that we cannot expect God to forgive us. And when we ask God to forgive us, we cannot expect Him to answer that prayer. We ought not to expect Him to answer that prayer. It's against the faith to do so if we are not in turn forgiving. Some of us have not received forgiveness, have not received the answer of our prayer and forgiveness, and thus the confidence which comes from such, because we know deep in our hearts that God has not forgiven us because we have not forgiven others. Forgiving. A lack of forgiveness hinders prayers. A lack of patience may cause failure in your prayer life. A lack of patience. We were talking about it in our class this morning, how that patience sometimes affects our living for the Lord. We want things instantaneously. You know, this is an instant age, isn't it? We have instant potatoes and instant grits and instant meals and every kind of thing just about you can think of in instant packages. And we expect the Lord to be instant. We say, "Lord, I want so-and-so today." And we mean it today. We want it today. I've used this on Wednesday night a couple times. I may have used it on Sunday morning, but we have some people who say, "Lord, give me patience right now." We need to be steadfast and continuous and instant in our living for the Lord. to keep on keeping on in spite of difficulties, in the face of opposition, in the face of adversity, to keep on expecting the Lord to answer our prayers, but be willing to let the Lord do it in His own good time. The Lord may say, wait. The Lord may say, no, it's not good for you. The Lord may say, yes. And we must be willing to trust in the Lord to answer our prayers according to His will for our own good. I think that's what Paul meant when he said in Romans 8 and 28, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. We need to ask the Lord's will be done in our lives, and then we'll be willing to accept the Lord's will. It may be that He says, wait. It may be that He says, no. It may be that He may say, next year. He may say, I'm not ready for you yet. You're not ready for it yet. It may be that we need to be patient. The Bible teaches that those who are patient and persevering in prayer are the ones who are successful in prayer. Elijah was a like man unto us in that he had the same difficulties of life, the same temptations of life. And yet, James says in James chapter 5 that Elijah prayed and he received his prayer. On one occasion, he prayed that it would not rain for 3 years, and it didn't. And I think James here is saying that effectual prayer, that is prayer that is answered and carried out, is a prayer that is persistent, that is patient in willingness to wait for the Lord's hand in the thing. And then he prayed again, it says, and it rained. I don't think that we need to understand that God is going to answer that kind of prayer for us necessarily. But I do think we need to understand that Elijah, even though he had all kinds of difficulties, and even though that he didn't understand why all these things were happening, and he wondered why in the world the Lord let him be persecuted, and all these kind of problems that he might have had, and got down the dumps and despondent and discouraged, and yet God answered that man's prayers because he was persistent in asking. And likewise in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, the Bible says, and Jesus taught this parable that men might learn to pray and not faint. And he told about a woman who came to a judge, and who this woman had been treated unfairly, and she wanted justice done. She wanted to be avenged of this injustice. And she came to the judge, and the judge wouldn't listen. And she just kept on coming and kept on coming and kept on asking. And finally the judge said, it may be the case that, you know, that if I don't give a judgment on this matter, that this woman is going to worry me to death. Literally worry me today. And so then he gave a judgment on it. And it's interesting to note that Jesus took this little illustration, this little parable, and said, likewise, we need to be persistent in prayer. Not faint, not give up. Keep on asking that God might know that we're serious about what we need and what we want. Shall not a God avenge His own which cry day and night unto Him? Jesus said, and the answer is yes. Now, formalism can hinder prayer. Formalism. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talked about some formalism. Here you have the example of the fact that we ought not to pray to men. In other words, that our prayers might be heard of men. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, and when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand in prayer in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have received their reward. Particularly, we need to be careful about this in public prayer, that we do not say what we say and do what we do, that we might be seen of men. Because our prayers are hindered, if that's the case. And then also, we must not use vain repetitions. In Matthew 6, he goes on and says, in verse 7 and 8, and in praying, use not vain repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. We need to be careful that we do not just say things to say them, or say things because others have said them. We're real prone to be traditional in the way we express ourselves. And I surely do not want to put any insincerity on people who use pat common expressions. But let us be careful that we know what we're saying and we're not using vain to no effect repetitions. Formalism. Jesus condemned the Pharisees for such action, which exalted themselves rather than the exaltation of God. And then last of all, God will not hear and answer the prayers of a mate who continually fusses and fights with her mate or his mate. Ye husbands, in like manner dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the woman as unto the weaker vessel, as being also joint heirs of the grace of life, to the end that your prayers be not hindered. Did you know that your home life can hinder your prayers? Did you know that if you have a feuding, fussing, fuming relationship with a husband or wife, as the case may be, that that can hinder your prayers? Did you know that the relationship between a father and a mother and their children can hinder prayers? And I would say, as God said to Joshua, get thee up and do something about the problem. Don't cry unto the Lord who does not hear because you've hindered your prayers by your life. But rather, get thee up and change your relationship with your husband or your wife or your children, as the case may be. And then God will hear our prayers. He hears the prayers of the righteous, but His ear is not attuned to those who live unrighteous lives. Are you living as a Christian husband or wife, mother or father, sister or brother? If your prayers are not being answered, or you feel that they are not, maybe one or more of these things that I've talked about today have brought about the hindrance to the answer of your prayers. Let us cleanse ourselves. Let us repent of sin, reform our lives, change our lives, to no longer walk in darkness, but walk in righteousness, in keeping with the Lord's instructions. Let us strive to live in such a way that God will hear and answer our prayers. One prayer that God will answer of a sinner. You know what it is? It's a prayer for forgiveness. I'm talking about the Christian who is sinning. The Christian who sins, God will hear his prayer if he will confess his sin and ask Him to forgive you. But you better be ready to reform your life when you repent, because God will not continue to forgive a man who continues to relive a rebellious life. He will forgive every person who will confess his sins and turn from them. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. God is just and faithful to forgive us our sins if we confess our sins. I've been talking primarily this morning to those who are Christians, because after all, I believe that the Bible teaches that God hears His children . And if you're not living as a faithful child of God, you're hindering your prayers. These are just ways in which we do it. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I do not find any assurance in the Scriptures that God will hear any prayer that you might utter, perhaps with one exception, the prayer to be led to the truth. And then perhaps God would answer that prayer. But I have every assurance that as a Christian, you can have a relationship with God as Father, and He will hear our prayers and answer them, based on the conditions that we walk in the light. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, why don't you become a Christian today? If you're here and you've gone astray, walking in darkness, you don't have the assurance that you need to have that God hears and answers your prayers, I plead with you that you repent, that you confess your repentance today and your sins, and demonstrate that repentance by coming forward and letting us pray with you and for you. Not that our prayers are any more effectual, but the Bible does say that the prayers of effectual men are the prayers of righteous men are effectual. Effective, working, they will bring results. Please, if you need to come today in any way, come right now while we stand and sing.